and paying our regular tithes. But there's a blessing attached to tithing. The Lord said in Malachi that when we bring our tithe in the storehouse, He said, if you do that, if you're faithful in that, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you such that you couldn't contain it all. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. But there's also a blessing attached to this kind of above and beyond giving. And this is kind of extravagant giving is the way I think of it. I'm going to preach from Nehemiah here in a minute. But the last couple of Sundays we've talked about giving for a minute. So allow me to do that once again. I believe this with all my heart, and I believe I could show you evidence of it to go back in our history just 17 years ago when the tornado destroyed much of this facility in 99, and we gave. I think I can show you a spiritual release and blessing that comes when God's people exercise their faith to give over and above their normal giving. There have been several people who've been instrumental in my life in terms of teaching me about giving. My parents were givers. I can remember my dad when I was a little boy, once a month or something, Dad would say, "Well, I got to go do my pledges. I got to go make my pledges." And he would go in, and Dad had kind of sorted out money. Nobody had credit cards in those days or anything. But most of it he sent by cash. I've got an old wallet that he had, and he had written on there the Lord's money. And there was something kind of sacred about that. So here was money for the food or whatever, but here was the Lord's money. And if he spent everything else, he wasn't going to spend that, because that was seed, right, for sowing. And you don't touch the seed or you won't have a harvest. So that was the Lord's money. And so he would pay pledges, and he had pledged to some missionaries. My aunt was a missionary. And so he gave to her, gave to Revival Time, the CM Ward, and Assemblies of God stuff, and gave to some other things. And then Dad gave to veteran causes, and he was a very right-wing conservative kind of guy, and he gave to some other stuff. But he had made pledges, and maybe be just $2 or $3 or whatever he could. This was back in the late 50s or 60s, but he was giving. Dad was committed to being a giver, and my mom was the same way. E.M. Clark was another guy who taught me about giving, and I've referenced him in his book about how to be happy and give your money away. He was the dear brother that came and helped us back in the year 2000 when we were raising the money to rebuild after the tornado. We needed more money than we didn't even know how much money we were going to need. We just knew we needed some, and he helped us raise $100,000 in cash that Sunday morning and pledges for $1.1 million. E.M. Clark was another statesman and a great man, and he taught me a good bit about giving. Another was a missionary who came to our church many years ago, a man named Wayne Myers. He wrote a book called Living Beyond the Possible. And I would advise you, if you could get that book, order it from somewhere. It's one of those life-changing kind of books. It'll challenge you to be a giver in every aspect of your life. He's 93 years old. His wife's 89 or 90, I think, and they're still preaching and still teaching people to give. They've started over 4,000 churches in Mexico and did it without a base of support. They just heard God tell them to go do this, and they've taught giving. And those Mexican churches have given thousands of dollars not only to build but to send missionaries and stuff. It's an extraordinary story, and he's an extraordinary man. And so I want to read you a paragraph from the introduction to his book. He talks about living to give. This is what he said. The pattern began with Jesus, who gave everything that he had, and the early church, who sold their possessions and gave the money to expand the kingdom. The early Christians knew their possessions were not their own. Everything we have is from God, the giver. Everything we have is from God, the giver. And then he said, many years ago, Martha and I determined that we would give a monetary gift on an average of every day of the 365 days of a year. So they give some kind of money every day. He said, some days it's not very much. Other days it may be a large check. Whatever we have, we give accordingly. Some people say, Wayne, you can't live like that. You'll go broke. And I tell them, listen, I was broke when I started giving. I haven't been broke since. I love that. He said, not many people understand the joy that comes from living a life of giving. Once you start this walk, you're hooked for life. Wayne Myers told me once, give because you can't help it, and you'll get because you can't stop it. Give because it's in your heart to give, and you won't be able to stop it. He told me that giving adds contagious joy to your life, because Jesus said it was more blessed to give than it was to receive. And he told me that giving will allow you to break the fear of tomorrow and the fear of lack from your life, because giving will guarantee daily bread for your food and seed for sowing. So he said, if you're afraid, well, if I give, I won't have anything for tomorrow. He said, no, it's the very opposite of that. Give and God's going to provide for tomorrow. He'll give you bread for food and seed for sowing. He said, well, how do you know that? Well, here's what the Bible says. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So God loves Sarah because she was pretty cheerful about getting here to give this morning. So thumbs up for you, girl. All right. The Lord's pretty happy about that. So not reluctantly. So if you're just like but giving grudgingly, actually, I'd tell you, go ahead and give grudgingly because we're going to need the money. Jesus won't love you, but I'll shake your hand. Anyway, each person should give. I apologize. Each person should give what they've decided in their heart to give. Nobody's telling anybody what to give, whatever. It's what you, this is between you and the Lord, and not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Jesus said that with the measure we give, it's going to be given back to us. And so that's the same thing that Paul's saying. If you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. Jesus said, give and it'll be given back to you. The same measure you use to give, it'll be given to you. And he said, and it'll be given back to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So if we sow generously, we reap generously. And notice again, the scripture says we're to give what we've decided in our heart to give and not under compulsion. Nobody's going to watch to see if you put anything in the offering today. Nobody's going to watch to see if you turn in a pledge card or whatever. But I'm eager for everyone to give because I believe God will bless you as you give. Paul continues then in that same chapter. He said, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So look at that. God will make his grace abound so that in all things, in all times, you'll have all that you need. So you'll have bread for food. I mean, that's kind of what he's saying. We'll have seed to sow to bless others. We'll have bread for food. We'll be able to eat. We'll have all that we have need of, he says. We will enlarge the harvest of righteousness so others are blessed. The kingdom is blessed and built up. And then he says, and we're going to be blessed, made rich in every way, so that we can continue to bless others on every occasion. Our generosity results then in everyone being able to give thanks to God. So I believe when we give to the work of the Lord, our tithe, our offerings to missions, and even to the building fund, I believe God will make his grace to abound and supply just what he said, bread for our food and more seed so we can continue to sow into good things, into good soil and good ministries, so we can continue to give and be generous. I believe that as we have faith to give today, God will increase our faith to believe for even greater things in every aspect of our life. When 17 years ago, we had $2.9 million in insurance. We had about a little over $3 million, $3.5 million. We had $1 million pledged or whatever, but we were still short. We spent $4.8 million. I don't even know. I say that all the time, and I have preachers laugh when I say it. I don't even know where all the money came from. I really don't. I don't know where I don't think the pledges equaled the amount. Well, I know it didn't. And money just came. It just showed up. Blessing came. And we were able to build debt free. And so I just know that God blesses when we honor him and we give and we respond. I believe as we have faith and give today, God will increase our faith to believe for even greater things. Because I can stand in this building and look around and go, what do you know? God really does do what he says he's going to do. He'll bless us. So I believe he's going to bless this church with a greater harvest. I believe he's going to bless this church with new harvest fields that we can reap reap in and sow in as we give in obedience and faith. And that's why I'm excited to give today. So Dr. Clark told me the sooner we plant the seed, the sooner we reap the harvest. So I'm ready to give, but first turn to Nehemiah because I want to show you a couple of things in the why and how of the rebuilding process that I believe are important for us to consider as we prepare to give. We don't talk about money or giving all the time. We teach about giving and the principles of it, but it's not something we talk about all the time. So if you're visiting today and think, oh boy, another one of those preachers always with his hand out. Well, my hand's not out for myself. It's out for what God wants to do here. But again, this is you're here on kind of a rare thing as we're launching this campaign. And so keep coming and see what you think. We've talked in the past few weeks about why Nehemiah was encouraging the people to rebuild the walls. And you remember, the walls had been destroyed 150 years before by King Nebuchadnezzar and the folks from Babylon. The walls of Jerusalem were still in ruins. The gates were still burned and down. They had managed over that period of time, 60, 70 years after they first were carried off into exile, they came back, rebuilt the temple, began to kind of reestablish themselves, but the walls were still down and the gates were still burned. And so Nehemiah shows up then, the king of Persia has allowed him to come back. And Nehemiah says in chapter 2, verse 17, come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. Jeremiah came back and said, this place looks awful. And this is a testimony to the world about our God and about His kingdom and His people. And look, the walls are down and the gates are burned and we're living in rubble and this can't be. And so he challenges them to rebuild so we'll no longer be in disgrace. So they were building in order to remove the disgrace of the past. And truly it was the disgrace of their past. The reason the city had been destroyed, the reason they'd been carried off into exile was because of their past, that they had sinned and rebelled against God. And as a consequence, then judgment had come and they're carried off into Babylon. So they were trying to build to remove the disgrace of the past. I'm glad to tell you, we aren't building because of disgrace. They were building to overcome their past. I'm thankful to God we're not having to try to change our name or our location or overcome something of our past because of scandal or failure or disgrace or whatever that anytime somebody says, oh, Carbondale Assembly, pretty much they say, isn't that the church that got destroyed by a tornado and not, oh, isn't that the church where the pastor, you know, did something? Or they may say, isn't that the church where the pastor is kind of a goober? But anyway, that's not a disgrace. That's just too bad. That's just the fact. But for more than 80 years, Carbondale has served the community and the city and the kingdom faithfully, I believe. And thanks be to God for that. There is no disgrace to try to overcome, but there is age that we deal with. So 16 years ago, we moved back in after the tornado and the facility had a new look in that sense. What survived after the tornado and we'd removed everything was this sanctuary and all the way down the end of the hall, the gymnasium. So we hooked the two pieces back together, cleared off all the parts that used to be an east and west wing that went out from this sanctuary. That blew away. The two-story building blew away. We added some stuff. But the sanctuary and pretty much the pews went away, but the chairs came in. But our lovely brass, and somebody suggested we sell that off a yard at a time. And I'm all about it. If anybody will pay for it, we'll get you a big piece of brass. But it's not real brass, by the way. But anyway, so this survived, and the front, minus where there used to be a fountain and stuff out there, pretty much the sanctuary in the front of this place looks like it did 50 years ago. It hasn't changed too much. It's pretty much the way that it looked when we moved here. And our age is starting to show a little bit. It's time for the work to be done, for a new look, for a step forward. Again, we're taking the next step in the master plan. We're not trying to overcome our past. We're simply trying to better live in the present and prepare for the future. Right? We're trying to better live in the present and prepare for the future. If you're 50 years old or older this morning, then that ought to... You could write that down in the front of your Bible, that's the way you need to be living. Trying to better live in the present and prepare for the future, because that's what we're trying to do. That's why you're putting a little extra something, you know, moisturizer on, and why you're trying to walk a little more and drink more fluid and check WebMD to figure out what do you think that is and stuff. That's what happens when you when you get to be 50 and you start thinking, I could use a little work right there. That's kind of where we are then in terms of a church facility. We want to live healthy in the present and we want to prepare for the future. And so we want to rise and build. That's what we're doing. I drove around the neighborhood this week, looked at a couple of other churches and just saw some of the decline that happens in buildings and sadly too often in congregations too, that we have to stay vibrant and alive. There's got to be more generations than just one in a church for it to survive. We have to build, we have to grow. And more importantly, we have to do what we believe the Lord is calling us to do. We have to obey Him and His timing, and that's what brings us here today. Well, notice that Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 3, then he immediately begins to tell us the people said, let's start rebuilding. So he says they began this good work. And then the very next chapter, he begins to tell about the people that were doing the work. And so Nehemiah said, Eliashib the high priest and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it, set its doors in place. And then he goes on to say, and then they built as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated. And then as far as the Tower of Hananel. And so he tells them how much work they did to build these walls up. So he starts out with the leadership. He starts out with the high priest and with the fellow priest there. I told you last Sunday what Paula and I intended to give to the building fund. I told you then, this is what E.M. Clark had taught us to do. This is what David did in 1 Chronicles 29, that as the king, even though he wasn't going to be the one to build the temple, but he said, this is what we're giving out of the treasury, and this is what he was giving personally to see that the work was done. And I said last week, I won't ask you to give if I'm not giving. I wouldn't ask you to work if I'm not going to work at this. I spoke to the staff this week about our giving, that we're committed to this project. The deacons are committed to this. And so there's a commitment that's made there, and we see it. It starts with the priests and his fellow priest, and the work begins and they do that work. But then Nehemiah tells us that it won't happen just because leadership says it's going to happen. It won't happen just because a preacher says we're going to do this. And so Nehemiah then begins to tell the various individuals and groups that came along to work alongside them, to work on the wall. And they labored together to build. And after he tells what the priest did in verse 2, then he says, the men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zakur, the son of Imri, built next to them. And all through then that chapter, he tells about different ones who came, their family, whose son they were, and that they came to build, and or the people of this city, or the people of this village came to build. And he even tells about some nobles that wouldn't put their shoulders to work, but mostly it's just about who comes in order to help do this work. And I'm just telling you this morning, the only way we can do this is if we all build together. There's no one person here that can pay the bill. There's no one person that can get the job done. We have to stand shoulder to shoulder to build. And believe me, there'll be challenges along the way. There always are. As soon as you fill out a pledge card and say, I'm going to give this, the devil's going to say, watch this, and he's going to try to attack you. But as soon as you give, the Lord's going to say, watch this. Here's the promise of blessing that comes in His provision. So, in fact, we'll talk next Sunday, I think, a little bit about some of the challenges Nehemiah faced and the people faced and how they responded to those challenges. But the important thing for us to realize is we're doing this together. That together we're going to build, and together we're going to give, and together we're going to grow. Together we're going to move towards the future. Together we're going to do this, because there's no way that any one person can do the work. And notice, too, that there's a place for everyone to give and a place for everyone to serve and to build. So verse 12 says, Shallum, the son of Halohesh, ruler of the half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. So it wasn't just the men that were out there working. It wasn't just the first generation or the first team of exiles. This was sons and daughters. It tells you it's so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. There were three generations out there working on the wall. There were four generations doing the work, and even the daughters got involved. And what I'm telling you this morning is the challenge is to all of us, sons and daughters, moms and dads, grandparents, young and old, rich and poor, newcomers and longtime members. There's room for everyone to rise and build and give, and we all do this together. And understand, I'm not just talking about money this morning, although that's part of it. We've got to have real live dollars because all the people that are going to do this work, all the contractors and subcontractors, they have to eat too. And they want to be able to put clothes on their children and stuff. And we're going to pay the bills. And so we have to have real money in all this. And so we are talking about a financial commitment. But I want us to make a commitment beyond that, not just a financial pledge to pay for the building, but a commitment for us to be the church, a commitment for us to work together to build the kingdom, to do the work of the kingdom. There's a phrase that everybody uses nowadays about doing life together. That's what it means to be a church. And we do life together. And so we give together and we serve together and we build together and we cry together and we rejoice together and we work together because that's the calling. And we do this. I like the way that he explains that. These guys built the next section, and next to them, these guys built, and next to them, these people built, and next to them, these people were building, and all of us working together. We could go back there. There's a retaining wall at the back of this property along there. And so 17 years ago, we were out there. Bill Parmley was helping us do that. And the men were out there, and women too, out there laying that block. I'd never built a retaining wall. I had no idea what I was doing. But Bill was out there saying, this is what you do. Put it here and put it here and put it here. You know what? If you go out there, it's a pretty good looking wall, actually. And it's still standing after all this time. If you go look at it, you can't tell. I can't tell you who paid for the wall. I don't know if there was somebody that gave $10,000 to go buy a block or if somebody gave a dollar. I can't tell you if an old person or a young person or a man or a woman or a boy or a girl or a teenager. I can't tell you anything about them. I just know that one block by one block, we built a retaining wall that's back there that keeps the property from flooding on down on top of us. The same thing is going to happen here. And so in the future, we're not going to look back and say, well, so-and-so gave this. We're going to say the congregation in 2017 gave this. They sowed this kind of seed and they built this. And this is what we're building upon in the future. And all of it, every dollar matters. Every person matters. Young and old, we're all committing to say, this is our church. We're going to do this for the work of the kingdom. That's why I want everybody to participate. That's why I want teenagers to get a pledge card today. I told them in first service I was going to tell the teenagers, get a job and work so you can give to this. And I had parents that were pretty excited in the back waving at me. So get a job, do some chores. I don't know. Go next door and see if you can mow a lawn or rake leaves or something. See if you can pick up $20. Teenagers got money. You ought to be able to do something to come up with 20 or 30 or 40 bucks a month that you could give to build this because you're going to worship God in this place. And so the challenge is for all of us to participate. Giving is for everyone. There's a place for everyone to work, everyone to give, everyone to help, everyone to serve. And every dollar matters. Every gift matters. Every prayer helps. Every sacrifice helps because together we're going to do this. In chapter 4, Nehemiah gives a rallying cry to the people then. The threat of attack was looming over them. We'll talk about that a bit next Sunday. And Nehemiah stood to address the people, and here's what he said. Don't be afraid of them, talking about the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. That's a great speech right there, short and to the point. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid to give. Don't be afraid to respond in obedience. Nehemiah reminded them who was with them in this endeavor. Our God is great and awesome, so don't be afraid. I worked on this week and went to the hospital yesterday praying for people, and I think I prayed that or shared that little message in every room I went to, because the Bible says God is great and awesome. Remember our God. He's great and awesome, and there's no reason to be afraid. He's going to accomplish what He said He was going to do. Don't be afraid to build. Don't be afraid to serve. Don't be afraid to pledge or to give. Don't be afraid to do what God's calling you to do. Don't be afraid of the challenges that are set before you. And it may be a crisis that's come, or a health crisis, or the doctor's giving you a bad report or whatever. Don't be afraid, because our God is great and awesome, and He can do what no other power can do. If you don't believe me, find Mike Dewey out there today. He said, I've got it in writing. He told me yesterday in the doctor's report that said they couldn't find anything. I know he did all that chemotherapy, but the doc said that's not usually how this works. But there's no sign of tumor, no sign of cancer. I'm telling you, our God is great and awesome. He does what He says He's going to do. He keeps His promises to us. Amen. Amen. So don't be afraid, whatever the challenge is. Don't be afraid. I love that. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the God who is great and awesome. Nehemiah reminds them why they were doing this and for whom they were doing this. That they were building for their brothers and sisters, their sons and daughters, their wives and families. And folks, this is why we're doing this. Yeah, we're building for ourselves. I get that. We're going to enjoy the improvements and be able to utilize this. But we're building for our sons and daughters and for the next generation. You see, we're called to preach an ancient truth in a relevant fashion and setting. And so there's families here that there'll be three or four generations or even five generations here some Sundays or whatever. That's the structure. That's what happens here. One generation proclaiming that to the next. And so there's multiple generations here. We have to find ways in order to present that ancient truth in settings so that multiple generations can receive it, that it's relevant to them, that they grab hold of that. If you've got children or grandchildren that are in this church, give for them. And give for their sake, give for their future, even if you don't quite get all the changes that are coming, because I don't quite get it either. But we're given for the sake of another generation. Sandy Casey had told me that she and Don had talked about what they were going to pledge. And Don was anxious and eager to give because he had a grandson in the Marines and another one that's getting ready to join the Marines. And he said, I want them to be able to tune in from anywhere in the world they happen to be able to see and hear the truth preached from this pulpit and in this church. He was planning on giving because of the next generation of his grandkids or whatever. Remember who we're doing this for. And I've said this repeatedly. And again, I don't even understand it all. Or how all of what we're doing will be used in the future to reach the harvest. But I believe we're building for the next generation. That we're building in obedience. We're building so the next generation won't have to race from behind to try to catch up with where they need to be to go from here. Because we're getting ready to hand this to the next generation of leaders and builders. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and sisters and for your sons and daughters and your grandkids. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and then dare to give and believe and work together, and let's get the job done. Nehemiah said back in chapter 2, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. And I believe God will give us success, but we have to start we have to take the next step. God will give us success, but we have to start rebuilding. He wasn't going to build for us. God will give us success, but we have to give. Notice in chapter 4, he says, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. We pray to our God and he's going to give us success. But we all have to do our part. We have to start rebuilding. We have to post a guard. God does his part and we do our part. God will give us success as we pray and do our part as we give and work for him. So Lord, we put this in your hands today. We declare what Nehemiah declared, that we will not be afraid. We remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And we fight for our brothers and sisters, our sons and daughters, our wives, our husbands, our homes, for the next generation. We believe you'll give us success as we endeavor to do what you've called us to do. So grant us faith to believe and faith to give and faith to rise and build together in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So here's what I want us to do. We're kind of doing this in two parts. And so I'm going to ask the ushers to come. And we're going to receive an offering, and everything that goes in this offering is going to go to the building fund. This is a cash gift. In a minute then, after we've done that, we're going to pass out pledge cards. You'll be able to pledge. If your plan is to just make a pledge and you don't have money to give today, that's fine. But you can put any amount in this offering, and then I'll show you, I'll kind of give you some instruction what to do as we make the pledges. But this is about just a cash offering. Some of you may have brought a check and you're planning to give your whole amount this morning, then hallelujah. God bless you. As Brother Clark said, the sooner you get the seed in the ground, the sooner the harvest comes. And so bless you for giving that. But we'll talk more about that in just a minute. Can we do three things at once? How are you at multitasking? I'm going to ask these guys I want to show a little bit of the video. I may tell you to stop it somewhere along the way. Is that all right? Father, bless this offering as we give this morning. we give because we believe this is your will, because this is your time. You've called us to this. We give generously. We give freely. Nobody's under compulsion to give. We give what we believe God has put in our heart to give this morning, that the need is met. We'll be able to pay the bills and build, and God will get the glory. Let it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bob, if you'll take my money. And I want you to watch a little bit, because some of you may be thinking, I don't even know now. What are you doing? What are you building? So I want you to see a little bit. This is the virtual plan here. And these are fake people. And we'll have real people coming. Although that's real right there. That's fake. That's what's coming. What it looks like when the roof's been blown off by a tornado. You get a look right down there. That's not going to happen unless he wants it to. Sound down and let it run. Thank you. We'll let it run because, you watch it over and over again, and then I start seeing things, first of all, to make fun of people's haircuts that the computer generates. And then, but I realized, too, that somebody asked, like, now, will you be able to see that balcony out there? And so, because they made it look like that all got covered up, and it didn't anyway. But for those that are still wondering about the drive-thru over there, they show you an image of that. I want to ask our staff here that are ready to go here. They're going to pass out pledge cards, and they look like this right here. There, I want you to see that little drive-thru, because that's going to be, all us Westsiders are pretty happy to be able to drop off somebody underneath the covered thing and be able to drive in. I want everyone to get a pledge card, and you can kill it now, Phyllis. Thank you. Teenagers, even if you're thinking, well, I don't plan to pledge or whatever, I mean, we got a couple thousand of these, so it's okay for you to take one. Because I'm praying the Lord will speak to you a week from now, and you'll still have it stuck in your Bible and think, well, yeah, maybe I should. So we're going to pass the cards out to you. Teenagers, take one and be able to fill this out. If we can put that up there. We're asking you to show a total commitment about three different times, and let me explain why that is. Here's what we've done. Right here in this box where it says, with God's help, by faith, my or our rise and build commitment total is, we're asking you to put the total amount you plan to give. If you gave $100 in the offering this morning, but you're hoping over the next year to be able to give $500 total, then write $500 total there. Over here is kind of the explanation for this amount. So your commitment total is going to be the same amount there as what you wrote here. You put $500, your commitment total is $500, less the initial amount. You put in $100 this morning, and your commitment balance then is $400. So it's just an easy way for the treasurer to look at that. If you gave a one-time gift and you put that in the offering, then that's fine. And you can put that there and then check a one-time gift or whatever. If you plan to give that balance, $500 or $5,000 or $50,000 or whatever it is, over 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, check the box just so we kind of know how the money's going to come. If you want to, here's the deal. You may want to give and then you give it in a year, and then a year from now you think, well, you know what? God's blessed. I'm going to just re-up that. I'll just keep giving every month to the building program. Then that's great. This is not a legal contract, all right? This is just a commitment you're making. This piece tears off, and it's just you can write the total amount there so you're able to say, yeah, I'll stick that in my Bible, because 2 months from now you're going, now, wait a minute. Now, what was it? Does anybody need a pen? We've got pens here for you. We've got cards. And so hold your hand up if you need a pen. These folks will get one to you. You notice that we ask for your name and address and all that stuff. It's just to make sure we've got correct information. The plan right now is that I'll send you a letter saying thanks for your pledge. But know this. Let me assure you, nobody's going to follow up like, okay, are you paying on your pledge? Nobody's going to call you in 6 months and say, hey, we haven't seen any cash coming in on that pledge. That's not going to happen here, all right? It just won't. There's no pressure here. This is between you and the Lord, what you're writing down here. And so, again, however you can pay it, if the Lord blesses you and you can, if you're given by faith and the money doesn't come in next month, again, nobody's calling you, and this is between you and the Lord, but I'm believing He's going to bless you so you can give, and I believe there'll be additional funds to give as well. So take a minute to fill that out. I pray that you'll just be bold in your faith and generous to give, and we'll get the cards here in a minute. I think something good is brewing here, so I've got mine filled out here. I gave off in both offerings. I divided my money up so I could put something, have something to give in both offerings, but I'll turn my pledge card in now and less what we gave and then our commitment balance due. So this is good. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you filled out your card, Lord, bless us. Grant us the faith to do this in Jesus' name. If you filled it out, if you want to just turn it over so nobody's looking at it and pass it, these folk will be here to just lift your hand up, or you can pass them down the end of the row, whatever you want to do. I hope it was explained well enough. And hey, if you made a mistake, who cares? Just fill it out there. But as soon as you've got the pledge made, thank you again and again and again for giving in the offering. Thank you for making a pledge to give maybe over and above that. If you can, that's great. If you can't, again, nobody's taking names. And we are taking names. We had you write it right there. But nobody's checking to see. I'm telling you, God's gonna bless us. Did we ever show what they gave for a service, or did I start talking right over that? We did, didn't we? Yeah, all right. I'm a little whatever. Not crazy, but I'm a little. I'm going to need some Gatorade in a minute, I think. Here's, you can add mine to the mix there. I told the 9 o'clock crowd if they wanted to slip back in here, they could find out what the total is here in a minute. They're tallying up the cash offering right now, and they'll bring that in here. And then Dale's tallying up the pledges. Dale's our treasurer. So just hold your hand up when you got your pledge done. Here, we'll keep grabbing them. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else? Who are we missing? Right back there. Thank you so much. Hey, look who's here. How are you? Surprised who you meet when you come walking back through here. Thank you, sir. All right. Ola's been, she's been out and moved over to Sherwood Manor across the street. Great to see her here this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir and ma'am.
We got more coming. Hallelujah. Dale is kind of the church historian, among other things. And here's another stack. Yeah. And we were talking about those guys in 1950, whatever it was, when they built the educational building over there. Same thing when they started in 36 to build that building. They had people walk up there and sign their names to cover a promissory note so that the members of the church said, if the church can't pay for this, we'll come up with the money, we'll pay it. Aren't you glad that I'm not asking anybody to put their name to guarantee this? I started kind of thinking about that this morning, thinking, well, how would we come up with the money? Let's see, I guess I'd have to. No, I've just got little pieces that somebody didn't tear off. I guess I could sell my house. There we go, right up there, Stan. But I still couldn't pay for all of it. So thank you for giving this morning. Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving. I've been praying blessing on you. We're gonna get all these cards here in a minute and bless them and pray over them, because I'm believing God to bless you. I had folk that came forward this morning. I'm going to lose my job. You know what? I just believe God's going to prosper. When we act in obedience and in faith, I just believe God prospers us in the process. I believe for jobs. I believe for increase. I believe for the blessing of the Lord. I'm hoping that they're just having to count buckets of money back there, you know. I'm no good at this. This is not my deal to be a fundraiser or whatever, except when it comes to missions. And this is part of a mission for us. And so I'm not bashful about saying, yeah, we need the money and we're going to use it wisely and be good stewards, and we're going to build and I do believe God blesses. So what's that? Remind me about pictures out there. Yeah, they built this. I took some pictures out there myself. And so I don't exactly get this photo booth thing, but yeah, go get yourself a picture. There's hard hats out there. Would you hand me that right there? Thank you, ma'am. There's hard hats out there and tools. I don't look that cool in a hard hat, but I put one on yesterday and Brian snapped my picture. So I told him to Photoshop it where I look 50 pounds skinnier. And I think the camera added 20 pounds is what I think of. But anyway, right out there, there's pictures. Do we have everybody's cards? We still gathering them up? All right, we're tallying them up. If anybody, just hold it up if we don't have your card this morning. And here comes Paul, maybe with the offering amount. Have you got it? You overheard it? All right, they're coming with an official piece of paper. See what they got. Oh, just, it's all right. She'll be here in a minute. All right, that's what I heard. She'll be coming around the mountain. Breathe. They're telling me to breathe on the front row. Stretch. I can do TV theme songs. In honor of Mary Tyler Moore, I'd give $100 in honor of Mary Tyler Moore. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Well, that climbs over what I was believing for. So, hallelujah. All right. We want a drum roll. How are we coming over there? He's checking. Cash. Yeah. So the cash offering in this service, this is just this service, right? So we're adding it to the other. $328,004.24. I got a penny I'd put in to make it 25 even. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us. Wow. My faith was, I'd said that I was believing God for $250,000 in cash. I just believed that we were going to be able to do that, and we did more than that. He's still counting them up. 328, and plus what was the first service cash? 84. 82, 764, 45 was the first one. I went to Berry Hill. I can't even add that. 410. 410. He's adding in his head. 410. Wow. 410 in cash. 410,000. All right, she said that doesn't include anything that was done online during the service. So some people may have given online. If you want to look, yeah, that's fine. You'll get your steps in that way to go look. She walks around the house, just like walking around. What are you doing? I'm trying to finish my steps. Making laps around the island in the kitchen. All right, there's more coming. Hallelujah. So the total, this is cash and, we'll just give you. Here's what the pledge is from the second service. All right, is $1,039,173. That's the cash and pledges. So you can put it up there. That's the total. This is cash and pledges of what came in this morning. $1,457,568. And we're checking to see if there's more somewhere. Hallelujah. I believe we ought to stand and give thanks to God for an extraordinary, extraordinary morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord, for people that dare to believe and to give and to respond in obedience today, Lord. We say again what Nehemiah said. Don't be afraid. Lord, we hear it this morning. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And what I know is that you are faithful, Lord. And I believe you this morning that the needs are going to be met. Dale, bring me those pledges, would you, those cards? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your promise. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate the response. Look at that, not only the money, but the number of people that responded this morning, this stack of pledges. Would you just stretch your hand this way? Lord, we stand in agreement this morning for every dollar that's been pledged, for every family, for every individual, for every person that's pledged to give. I pray blessing and increase upon them. I believe, Lord, that you will do exactly what you promised to do, that because people have been sowing generously, they will reap generously. There'll be a harvest of righteousness. We'll see blessing upon this church and upon the next generation of Jesus Terry's, that this church will be equipped to go forward into the next generation, Lord, and to accomplish greater things, things yet to even be conceived of. It's what you're going to do. I pray for blessing and increase. I pray that every penny will come in and beyond that, because you're going to bless them with seed so they can be generous on every occasion. They'll have seed to sow, bread for food, Lord, that you'll provide them with jobs. If anybody's about to lose a job, they'll get a better one with better pay, better benefits, that the blessings of God will be upon them. Lord, you said that you would cause your grace to abound to us so that in all things, at all times, in every way, we would be blessed. Lord, I believe it. Your blessing to come to your people as they give today. Let it be done, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the generosity of this church. Thank you for the vision they have, Lord, to continue to grow and to establish the kingdom of God here in Southwest Tulsa and around the world through missions and through our giving, Lord. We'll continue to give and we'll continue to sow and we'll continue to bless missions around the world, Lord. Never will we step back from that great commission, Lord. We'll do this and we'll do that because our God will give us success. You will provide. So we don't move in fear. We move in faith and with confidence, Lord, that we can live well now to serve you here. And Lord, we'll believe for even greater things yet to come. There is a better day ahead, and I thank God for it. We rejoice and give you praise now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Moved into a new dimension. For when you find the joy of giving, it will move your borders further out, that you will be enabled by the Holy Spirit to reach men and women with the gospel. And you'll know the joy of just in worship while we give. This is an act of worship to broaden us, to see the world as Jesus sees it. We have to see the world as lost and need redemption. And this will enable us to reach more with the gospel of peace. And so the Lord smiles upon our action this day.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the confirming word by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we respond in obedience today without fear. We remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And we do this, Lord, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.